Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 14th, 2005. Today's session is entitled Praying with St. Ignatius, presented by Gary Grafwalner. Disc number GRG-2005-02.
Today is June 14th, and this is the second in a series on prayer, and it's about praying with Ignatius, who was the founder of the Jesuits. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be focusing on a tool called the Examen, and it's a way to see God in everything. And it can be used by children, by youth, by adults, by all ages. It's a wonderful tool. And I want to start by teaching you this prayer song, because it sort of reminds me a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about. And it's a song that I pray every day when I walk in the morning, or when I swim. I pray it while I swim, and it goes like this. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. And then it's ears, Lord, and then it's heart, Lord. And then the last verse goes like this. I live within you, deep in your heart, my love. I live within you, rest now in me. So will you try it with me? Okay, great. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord, help me to see. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear your voice. Open my ears, Lord, help me to hear. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love like you. Open my heart, Lord, help me to love. I live within you, deep in your heart, my love. I live within. Rest now in me. Amen. Maybe you can use that again. And if you want, you can touch your eyes and your ears and your heart as a way of involving your body in your prayer. My name is Gary Grafwalner, and my dad was a non-practicing Roman Catholic Christian, and my mom was a Christian Lutheran, and I'm involved in the church today because of my mom and her witness and her persistence in the face of my adolescent rebellion and uncooperation. I've been a pastor and a priest in a Lutheran church for 39 years, and I'm in a tradition that focuses on the written word. We are a word-centered tradition. And because I was a major in biology at the university and was going to be a marine biologist, this fed me because it spoke to the left side of my brain. We're a teaching church. We put down what we believe in writing. We pass it on to the next generation. But in about midlife, I began to realize that I was missing a lot, and I started searching within my tradition and didn't find what I needed. So I went to the Roman Catholic tradition, and I started reading Carlos Carleto, who is a little brother of Jesus, who spends 6 months in the desert every year in northern Africa, and then he spends 6 months working with the poor in the inner city. So he's got the inner journey apart, and then he's got the outer journey in the city. And then I read Thomas Merton and Henry Nouwen and Poustinia, and I began to feed my heart or the right side of my brain. And I think out of my own interest and hunger for God, I began to study prayer and developed the practice of taking a week a year to pray, either with the Franciscans or the Benedictines or the Jesuits, either alone or in a taught retreat. And that's something I'd invite you to think about in your spiritual journey. One of my friends who's a Holy Name sister says her rule for prayer is 1 hour per day, 1 day per month, 1 week per year. That she takes an hour each day for God. She takes 1 day each month for God. And she takes 1 week each year for God, where she just kind of hangs out. And she shows up and sees what God has in mind. A little introduction to Ignatius. He was born a Spanish Basque of a nobleman. He was in a privileged family. He became a soldier. He was a womanizer, he was a drunkard, and he was wounded in a war and nearly died. And in his recovery, he began to read the scriptures and he began to read the lives of the saints, and he was converted. And he became a follower of Jesus. And at the heart of Ignatius' spirituality is seeing God in all things. So there is not the secular and the religious, it's all sacred. For Ignatius. He said that we should be open to the revelation of God in creation, in scripture, in the community faith, and in our own experience. And when I went to graduate school, I was taught I should be open to God in the scriptures, primarily, and secondarily, open to God in the church. But I didn't really hear a lot about creation, and I certainly heard nothing about my own experience and paying attention to what God's doing in me. He wrote the spiritual exercises as reflection on his own journey with Christ. And today they're considered a school of prayer. If you want to learn how to pray, you can use the spiritual exercises. They're also a tool for spiritual discernment. For sorting through stuff, you know. Discernment is about rummaging. You know, it's kind of looking for where God is in your life, kind of, and where God's calling you. And one of his favorite prayers that he taught his students was the examine. And he said, if you can't do any of the other spiritual exercises, do the examine. And do it a couple times a day. Try and do it at noon. And then try and do it at the end of the day. I'm from the West Coast. I live north of Seattle. So there's a Jesuit community in Seattle, which is close to me, in Seattle University. There used to be one in Portland. It's somewhat diffused now. Creighton is a Jesuit school back in the Midwest. There are Jesuit schools on the East Coast. They are really the teachers of the Roman Catholic Church. And they're pretty independent. And you may or may not have noticed that in May, the 7-year editor for America Magazine was fired by Ratzinger's office because they felt he was getting too ecumenical, and they had and that sort of sent a tremor through the Roman Catholic Church, and people are saying, "Wow, if this moderate is fired, we're in trouble. We're in trouble." So, an introduction to the examen. I'm going to just hand these out. I think I've got enough of them to go around. I think I've got some more here if you need. There are 5 parts to the examen, or the examen, depending on where you were taught it. Anyone else need one? How are you doing there? Okay, we got enough to go around. And what I want to do is I want to walk through the 5 parts quickly, and then I want to go back and break them down and comment on each one, and then I'm going to have you do the exercise. Our theme for this year is Holy Ground, and the examen is a tool for gardening in your heart, okay? It's a tool for turning over the soil. The first part of the examen is to give thanks to God for favors received. So basically, you just think about this day or the last time since you've done the examen, and you think, what am I thankful for? What are you thankful for today?
My son Carl.
Son Carl. Somebody else. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that I'm here at Holden.
Okay, great.
My friends.
Friends? Anybody else?
Rest.
Love. Was that husband? Huh?
For the sunshine.
Okay. For the pot. Huh?
Health.
Yeah. Okay. That's the way the prayer starts. Then the second part of the prayer is to pray for the enlightenment of the Spirit. To ask the Spirit to help you see your life the way God sees your life. And you're really praying for the grace of a discerning heart. Okay. I want to get you out of your head into your heart. The third part of the prayer is, and this is the heart of the prayer, it's called the review. You imagine that you're looking at a movie of your day backwards. You got one of these, Carlos. Okay. Okay. So I usually do the examen at the end of the day. So I think about who I've seen, who I've talked to, where I've been, what I've done, and Ignatius says, particularly pay attention to feelings. To feelings. Love, joy, need, fear, anger, sorrow, those are sort of the big ones. You can have lots of others. And ask yourself some questions. God, where did you come close to me today, this morning, this evening? Where did I see you? Where did I duck you? How did I respond when you came close? Did I notice it? Did I say thanks? Did I say, take off my shoes? You know, holy ground, kind of. That's the heart of the prayer. Where was God, and how did you respond? And then the fourth part of the prayer is, now if you are grateful, you say thank you. And if you blew it, you say, oops. You say, Ignatius would say, you have sorrow, and you ask for pardon. You ask for forgiveness. And the last part of the prayer, the fifth part of the prayer, is a resolution to grow in Christ, to grow in the Spirit, and to pay particular attention to choices you're going to be making in the next few hours. So, with the idea of having more of the heart of Christ, having more of the practice of Christ, the life of Christ, the will of Christ. So that's the prayer in an overview. Any questions so far? Okay, now I want to go back, and I want to take each of the parts and just make a couple extra comments or a few comments on each one. The first part is giving thanks for favors received. Another question to ask in this part is, what are the graces that I've been gifted with? Most recently, I take time to thank God for the good things that came into my life today. And I reflect on my experience, and I'm open to God's presence in the events, relationships, and situations. So a key question you could ask for this day, for this part of the prayer, is what am I grateful for? When I started to teach this prayer to our grandchildren, I would say, Paige, what are you grateful for today? She'd have it in a blank. Or I'd say, Chloe, what are you grateful for? It'd be right there. And then sometimes I'd say, what are you not grateful for today? Boom, it'd be right there. Boom, it'd be right there. So what are you grateful for? What are the beautiful gifts of the last 12 or 24 hours in terms of tasks or persons or places, things you've seen? And Ignatius really believed that everything is gift when we see it through God's eyes. So what are God's most recent gifts to you? You can even draw a picture of a gift, you know, if you didn't want to think about it. The second part of the prayer is to pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, to see yourself as you are, not as you think people want you to be, okay? But to see yourself as you are. Because Ignatius believes the only way we can pray is to bring the self that we are to the God who is. Not the self we think we should be, but the self we are to the God who is. So you're asking for a discerning heart, for more intimacy, for the mind of Christ. Sometimes I pray, you know, here we were saying, open my eyes, Lord, open my ears, Lord, open my heart, Lord. Sometimes we can pray, give me the mind of Christ. Sometimes I just pray that. Give me the mind of Christ. I ask the Spirit to see where I've turned away from God, where I've missed an opportunity, you know, or a call that's been coming. The goal is not just to remember, the goal is to grow in Christ, to grow in God, to grow in the Spirit, to become more aware of yourself as God's beloved, as God's beloved, son, daughter, man, woman. So that's the second part of the prayer. The third part of the prayer is the review. So one of the questions you might ask yourself in this part of the prayer as you're playing a movie of your day backwards, you're imagining, is where do I hear God? Where do I see God? Where did I last see God? Where do I experience God? And Ignatius said, pay particular attention to your experience. He also used the scriptures, and he's got some great resources in the spiritual exercises for how to pray with the scriptures, which is different from what Benedict did that we talked about yesterday. But here it's to rummage through your life, to look at your life and feelings and experiences and conversations. How's God working with you? What's been happening between you and God? Gert Bahana has this wonderful question. Whenever she's kind of doing something, she asks herself, is it for God or for Gert? Is what I'm doing for God or for Gert? Is it for God's glory or my glory? Now, if you have a name that starts with a G, you could say, is it for Gary or for God? It sort of rhymes, you know. But if it's Louise, it's a little harder. But you're looking at your actions and your reactions and your response to God's presence. And maybe there's a single event that stands out in the day. And the event is you walked into the kitchen and stepped into some cat poop. And that's just, that ruined the day, you know. Well, you kind of look at that and what happened as a result of that and where God was or wasn't in the fallout with the children or the grandchildren or your spouse or whatever, you know.
Gary, mm-hmm. Can you use this as a reflection, you know, looking back to your entire life?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things I'm going to say at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, you sure can. You can do an examine of your life, which is amazing. What am I most grateful for? What am I least grateful for? When did I feel the most myself? When did I feel the least myself? When was I most connected to God? When was I farthest from God? Yeah, for sure. Those same questions. Dennis and Matt Lynn have a book that's in the bookstore that, thanks, called Sleeping with Bread. And it's just a great wedding gift. It's a great anniversary gift. I don't get a commission for, you know, encouraging people to buy these, but it's how to pray the examine, or the examine. And you can use it with friends, you can use it with children, you can use it with a seeker, with someone who doesn't claim to be a Christian. You can teach them how to begin to listen for God's voice. So, again, this part is about listening and discerning God in your life. And one of the other things that Ignatius says is that often when we do this, we begin to notice a pattern in our life. And the pattern is maybe, when I'm here, I have peace. Or when I'm here, I'm always crabby. What's going on? You know? And he has two words, consolation and desolation. And consolation is anything that moves us closer to God. Closer to God. And desolation is what moves us away from God, away from our best self, away from others. So is there a pattern? And that's something to note rather than to ignore. So the goal is a deeper conversion. The fourth part of the prayer is my response in healing sorrow or gratitude. I bring to God the needs I have right now. And maybe my heart is just overflowing and I feel so blessed and I just weep at the goodness of God to me. Or maybe I feel like Peter and I have denied him and I have betrayed him. And I've let my sisters and brothers down in the church. You know, is there gratitude or is there sorrow? Is there thanksgiving or is there confession? And the feelings are a sign that something's going on. That's why Ignatius says, pay attention to feelings. Now, if you're clinically depressed, then you need to pay attention to thoughts. And don't ignore the feelings, but you really need to pay attention to what you're thinking. You know, because sometimes that helps one get through depression. Whereas if you pay attention, if you go with your feelings, it may be just a swamp, you know. The Christian heart is always a heart in song. It's the song of a sinner. It's the song of someone who's being converted, who's being transformed. So your response to your review is sorrow or gratitude. And then the last part of the prayer is, who am I going to see the rest of today? What am I going to do the rest of today? What are the choices I'll be making? What are the opportunities that I'll have to be more patient? Or when I see that person coming toward me that I can't understand or can't stand, maybe this time I'll just stop and I'll say, hey, how are you doing? And I'll listen. And she won't let me get a word in edgewise. But I'll listen. I'll just be Christ to her. I'll be with her. I won't avoid her like everyone else does. Oh, here comes Louise. Wow. You know, kind of. So this part of the prayer is really about sanctification. It's about growing in grace. It's about having our mind and our heart and our behavior change. So where do I want to change my behavior? There is a choice. I don't have to swear. You know, there is a choice. I'm going to stop here and see if you have any questions. Okay. That's all right. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to find a quiet place, and you can do it right where you are, or you can sit on the floor or push your chair back, and I'd like to have you pray the examen for the next 15 minutes. What are you grateful for? Pray for the enlightenment of the Spirit. Review the last 24 hours, particularly note feelings. Where was God? How did you respond? And then do you have to ask for forgiveness, or do you express gratitude? And what do you want for the rest of the day or the next 24 hours? Can we try that? Okay. So it's about, I've got about 16 and a half after, give or take. Okay. So.
I have one question.
Sure.
It almost seems like you said, not going into the desolation place. And yet it seems like at the end of that desolation place, sometimes you find more spiritual growth. And so avoiding going there almost makes you not grow.
Okay. Maybe avoiding was not the best word. What Ignatius would say is if there's a pattern, where is it taking you? Is it taking you away from yourself? That's not what God would want you to do. God would not want you to take your own life. God would not want you to despair. God would not want you to be consumed with rage. You look at the rage. You know the rage. But then you say, okay, where do I need healing? How can I begin to move back to you through my pain or my grief? Otherwise, it's just a downward spiral. Circle. It's sort of like what the Desert Fathers say, that when we get, and mothers, if we get a thought and it's negative, we have a choice about whether we'll let it go to a second thought. Once we're to the second, it's real easy to go to the eighth. And then it just rolls and pulls us out and away from that. So. Okay. Thanks. We're going to take about 15 minutes.
So, it made every other
Well, I think sometimes when that comes, when we're giving thanks or when we're reviewing, and something just sort of gets bigger and bigger in front of us, we need to be with that, rather than go on and finish the prayer. You know.
Or can't I go back to all those great, amazing, 5 minutes of gratefulness, easy, fantastic, great life, and then why can't I give things to those?
Uh-huh.
Like that.
So maybe some need for healing there.
Yeah. Or he just needs to change. If he could just
Well, I didn't say specifically before. Rabbi Kushner, in one of his books, says each day he begins the day by trying to give thanks for 100 things. So that the attitude of gratitude transforms us. You know, when we're thankful. Somebody else, anything that came for you, or how did it feel? Was it helpful?
I get started easier when I got started.
Okay. Hard getting started, but easier once you got going. Okay, well that's kind of nice. Do any of you fall asleep? Okay, I do that sometimes. And you just gotta come say, okay, God, sorry. I'll pick it up the next time. Or finish the prayer where I left off. Anybody else?
It was nice knowing that I had 15 minutes where I wasn't going to be interrupted. Part of the difficulty for me in my day is being able to count on time when I know there won't be any interruptions because then I can let myself be drawn deeper.
Okay.
Otherwise, I stay more on a, I don't want to say superficial, but it for me the review part. The challenge, because it takes time, and I don't always know I'm going to have the time to do that. And then the other thing that stood out was in reviewing maybe just the last 24 hours where God was, and I'm usually drawn more to the ocean, and when I find myself needing or wanting or even just getting an opportunity to go somewhere and be alone, it's almost always to the ocean. And so I find myself here, and yesterday I was just looking around me, and it has the same effect. It's the overwhelming awe that I get from my surroundings of who God is. That I don't in my day to day because it's just so much bigger than I usually am. I'm usually focused so much on details that that kind of escapes. That's nice.
Thanks. I found out that when I do the examine regularly, daily, I do it spontaneously throughout the day. Or I'll do part of it, I'll just do the review, or I'll just do the gratitude part, or I'll do the fourth part. Oh man, I can't believe I said that. Or that I didn't do that, you know, or that I was that hard, or whatever. I am sorry. Fifth part, help me to do better with your, by your grace, you know, to grow in Christ. Anybody else?
I wander.
You wander?
You know, there's the five steps, the sequence, and I found myself wandering
back
there
and forth.
That was an interesting experience. But also, like you, feeling gratitude for the uninterrupted time. Something very significant to recognize.
Sometimes people will say it to me. You know, I'll ask them how they pray, and I'll say, well, I give thanks, and I confess my sins, and sometimes I ask for help, and I'll say, do you ever listen? And they'll say, well, how do you listen? This is a way to listen. This is a prayer that's taught me how to listen, very, very specifically. Because it's like having a microscope and looking at something under a slide. And you look at it at 150 power, and you look at it at 500 power, and you look at it at 1,000 power, and you begin to say, I can't believe that mold looks like that. That it's that beautiful. You know? Or I can't believe that this bog is just the meanest looking thing I've ever seen in my life under the blinds. You know? So beauty becomes more beautiful, and brokenness becomes
much more explicit and graphic, like your relationship thing. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
There's a part of confession. There's the self-centeredness, but then there's also the standing on my own truth, not being able to do that, which to me seemed really opposed to one another, which was interesting.
Can you say a little more?
Well, there's, I think it comes from being a mom. There's always that, how was my time,
uh-huh.
and legitimately my time, and being able to claim that as my time, or when is that self-centered? Trying to discern that, and claiming the need and the okayness in Christ to say, this is my time for solitude and family.
Yeah.
This is my time with God. This is my time right now.
Somebody told me there's a difference between self-centeredness and self-care. And self-care is not self-centeredness. And self-care is not self-indulgence. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So it's important to learn how to do that and to recognize maybe that it's hard to do when little people are constantly saying, Mom, and to honor that. You know, I know a woman who does the exam in the shower. She takes a 15-minute shower. Now, I know water is an issue. Okay. But she sits down and she locks the door and no one can get at her for 15 minutes. And she just lets the water run over her and she begins to give thanks and asks for the enlightenment of the Spirit and then does her review and goes in.
In the Philippines had a similar situation. She would kneel down at her chair and cover her head, and the kids could play around her, they could hug her, but they could not speak to her while she was over.
Just a couple of closing words on the examen. You can do it on a conversation, you can do it on a meeting, you can do it on a national holiday. You could do an examen on the 4th of July. You could do an examen on a religious holiday, Pentecost, All Saints Day. Just do an examen on it. You could do it over a week.
Explain what you mean, doing it on the 4th of July, just taking that day to
it? Mm-hmm. Taking that day, but particularly doing the examen in terms of being a stranger in a strange land. We are an American citizen, but this is not our home. And we are celebrating our independence and freedom, but we do horrific things in the world, as our leaders do at times, I believe. We do good things, too. But you could just do an examen on being in America, being a citizen, on our freedom. Or an examen on Memorial Day, the cost of war, you know. 11, or we don't really know because they fudge on the figures. But the conservative estimates are at least 20,000 American troops have been wounded in Iraq. But the official figure is 11,000. And the Iraqi figure is probably close to 100,000. Many children. So you can do an examen on an event or a date or a festival. You could do it as a review of your life. Imagine you're 80 years old, and you're reviewing your life. What was great? What would you have done differently? How do you want to use the rest of the time you have? You know, that's the fifth part. Kind of. I found it just a great resource for prayer. And it's not the only way to pray. And it's not the only tool for tending the garden of our soul, as Macrina Whitaker says. But I just keep coming back to it. I don't use it daily. And one of the things Ignatius says is try and build on from where you were when you did your last examen. Remember when you did your last examen. When you went to the beach, that was 2 weeks ago. Okay. So you don't just start over. You don't just start in and do it fresh, but you're always building because you're always looking at who is God, where was God in my life, how am I being called, how have I been graced, how am I responding, where do I need to shift and grow. Any last kind of observations or questions?
I was wondering if you have any specific ideas for adapting it for children. Is it just the same way, or is it a different language, or a different time?
Dennis and Matt Lynn have this wonderful, they simplify it. I wish they would have put a picture of a woman in here, but they put a picture of a man. Matt and Dennis are Jesuit priests, one of whom fell in love with Sheila. And so he had to leave the order, and she had to leave the convent. But their ministry is prayer. They've got lots of books on prayer. And this is a simplified, this is what I call the Reader's Digest version of the examen. And it's where you light a candle, you light a candle, do whatever helps you to experience unconditional love. For example, imagine yourself in a favorite place with someone you trust, such as a friend or Jesus or God, as you understand God. Put your feet down, breathe in unconditional love, and then place your hand over your heart and note what you're grateful for. See, that's at three. You're already at three. You haven't prayed for the enlightenment of the Spirit. But a child can do that. Put your hand over your heart. What am I most grateful for? Where did I feel the most love today? Where was I most at peace today? And then the second part of it is, where did I feel the least grateful today? Where was I really crabby? Or where was I hurt? Or unkind, or whatever. And then to be with that and maybe say thanks or help. And then just close with the Lord's Prayer or the Jesus Prayer. Or to give thanks for that time you've had, the three of you or the two of you. Being in God's presence. But kids are so quick on what was great or what they're ungrateful for. It's just amazing. And you can say, well, why don't we just tell God we're grateful for this? Or tell God we're not grateful. Like, this was really hard that my friend ignored me or ridiculed me. We're at our time. Peace be with you. Thanks for coming. You're welcome. That's it, Antonio. Thank you.